Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this day. From those on radio, WPHM, for those on podcast, WPHM.net, or streaming, we welcome you to Our Savior's worship this Sunday morning. And we're glad to have you here. The community experienced race weekend. We're experiencing worship this day. For those who may be in different parts of the country listening to us, like Washington State and other places, who we know we have listeners, we've had a lot of rain here. and we now have a little dry spell, but I see the clouds are coming back in again. I don't know what that is going to mean for the rest of the day. But we are here with the light of the Lord to worship our great God. This day, no sacrament, so we don't celebrate Eucharist until the 1st of August. But a few things just kind of let all of us in the community know from the news of the congregation. One of things, for those who are here at the early service, those who are listening for the 11 o'clock service and going to that service, Jim Wendt is back with us for this day at worship. Jim is here to do some local business and residing in Tennessee with his wife and Ruth. And she is down there still having to work and recovering from some knee trouble. But we certainly remember her in our prayers and glad to see Jim back up here with us. In so many ways, he served in this congregation, president, choirs, everything, soloist. He was a gift of God. He's taken it now to the Methodist Church down in Pigeon Forge and Sevier. Where is it actually? Yeah, okay. Yeah, Sevierville, yeah. And you gotta, if you're from Tennessee, it's not the way it looks in spelling. It's Sevierville. You gotta do it it's not Louisville, it's Louisville. You gotta get the right slur on the letters and consonants and vowels. So, good to have you. For those of us looking forward to the month of August, just kind of let you know, we did our cookout at Scott and Marion Pike's house this last week. Wonderful event for the congregation. Next thing on the horizon is the National Night Out on Tuesday, August the 1st. We need members to be floor people walking, meeting and greeting the neighborhood and letting them know you're from Our Savior. The other members of the other 10 churches will be doing the same thing. We're also doing face painting. Now, we haven't had a sign-up sheet, but we really need 6 to 8 face painters. And we have the paints, unless you have a specialty set of your own. And we're going to have 3 or 4 from the Roman Catholic Parish and maybe a couple other churches, because it was probably one of the most popular events last year, the face painting. And it's the slowest one to go. So we need enough laborers to keep it moving, the children through the face painting. We're also supporting by the bicycle lottery, so to speak, with the youth. We, the sister churches, were donating 8 bicycles to the community's youth with helmets and with bike locks so they don't get stolen. So that's August the 1st, that Tuesday. We come back at the August 7th, that Monday, will be Vacation Bible School, 7th through 10th, here at Our Savior. The twist over other years is that we're doing Vacation Bible School with a music camp. We decided back in February this was the direction we would do in 2017. We've been working towards that. So on the VBS side for youth, 5th grade and under, we're going to be doing God's Story, Your Story, My Story. As part of that component, this afternoon we're going to do something we've never done before. I'm going to have Dorothy Schess, Lois Langhoff, and Don Martin in 30-minute segments and Denver DeTerry is going to videotape my interview with him. We're going to preserve it first for Vacation Bible School playback, and them to share their story of faith and journey in Christ. This should be awesome. The reason when that idea first came to me in February, March, as it was germinating, was to prepare for the 100th anniversary of our Savior. In case they can't make the rest of the year journey, we will have them as part of the archives of our Savior, because they've got stories of their years, of 90 years. Hey, you accumulate stories. So it should be a fun interview this afternoon. We'll be by ourselves. Denver will be recording us. We'll play it back. And we'll make DVDs for them, for us, and for the archives for the 100th anniversary. So that will take place. Then on August the 11th, that Friday of that week, we have been invited by St. John United Church of Christ, Pine Street and Wall Street, to join them in what has been their annual event of an ice cream social with karaoke. So get down, get ready to sing or listen. We asked them if our Vacation Bible School musicians from the music camp can perform a few songs. They said yes, absolutely. So we'll be there with them as well to perform some music at that karaoke. Then we come back at the end of August on the 27th for our church picnic. We've done annual picnics for 23 years. The last three, we've been at Greg and Susan Jones' home. And we've invited St. John United Church of Christ to our church picnic so that we have a co-op kind of experience, since we live three blocks from each other, to build a bond of unity in Jesus Christ. So those events are coming up for us, and we look forward to it. Radio sponsorship this day is from a gal from our community, and we greatly appreciate her listening to us, but more importantly, also her support. Christine Churchill is sponsoring the broadcast this day. The flowers on the altar presented by Lynn Nelson in memory of Cecil Kibbe, who has passed away a few years ago. Our worship begins with confession of sin. If you'll please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and against one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all of our offenses. Cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. Now your grace draws near to you, our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us, and while we were yet sinners, for his sake, God forgives you all of your sins. Amen. Our entrance hymn, Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And if you'll join me in the prayer, let us pray. Faithful God, most merciful Judge, you care for your children with firmness and compassion. By your Spirit, nurture us who live in your kingdom, that we may be rooted in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have our first reading by Jane.
Good morning. God claims the right to sole rule because God announces things that actually do happen, while supposed divine opponents remain silent. God is Israel's redeemer, that is, the best brother or sister they ever had. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, book 44, verses 6 through 8. Excuse me. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jane. Our Psalm of the Day selected verses from Psalm 86, and the refrain is there indicated and printed. Beginning with the 11th verse. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I will thank you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and glorify your name forevermore. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the pit of death. The arrogant rise up against me, O God, and a band of violent people seeks my life. They have not set me before their eyes. But you, Lord, you are gracious. You're full of compassion, slow to anger, full of kindness and truth. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the child of your handmaid. Show me a sign, Lord, of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it, and they would be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. The second reading by Gary Oxford.
For Paul, true spirituality means that we experience the reality of the Spirit, which enables us to pray as God's children, keeps us in solidarity with creation, and gives us unseen hope that God will liberate us and creation from bondage to death and decay. The second reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact, excuse me, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
If you're able to stand, we speak the gospel acclamation, please. Alleluia. My word shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Alleluia. The gospel for the day is from Matthew, the 13th chapter, selected verses, beginning with verse 24. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus put before the crowds still another parable. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. Then that enemy went away. So when the plants were coming up, germinating and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. As the slaves of the householder came and said to the master, "Didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go out and gather them in?" He replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat among them. Let both of them grow until the harvest date. At the harvest time, I'll tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first, bind them in bundles that will be burned, but gather the wheat, the good crop, into the barn.'" Then he left the crowds, that's Jesus, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us this parable you just taught of the weeds of the field." So Jesus answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers. They'll throw them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing, when the righteous then will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let everyone who has ears listen." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. If you'd like to follow the sermon outline, organized it there in the inside cover. These last few weeks have been teachings by our Lord in a fashion that is not used all the time by him, but one of his teaching style is using story, parable, a parable. A story that has physical things that even the simplest mind can grasp, but are fully loaded with spiritual power and meaning. And those, when one time the disciple says, "Lord, why do you talk like this? Why don't you just say it straight out?" And he says, "Don't worry. The ones who hear my stories, they're not going to understand it. But my kids will understand what I am saying, and they'll take it to heart. Almost in a way to kind of frustrate the world, for the believers to comprehend and grasp spiritual truth. So we're presented with another one. Last week, if you recall, if you were with us in service, you know, it was the sowing of the seeds on four types of soil. Again, Jesus said at the end of that story, if you have ears, listen. I'm not a German student, but I understand our simple one word the Germans use is Achtung. Get your attention and listen. I think if Jesus spoke German along to the other seven languages he spoke, which he didn't, he would have said the same thing. Listen. I'm not just fashioning you a story to entertain you. I'm trying to teach you. Hear what I have to say. We look over the preceding two lessons. That's the pivotal one. We're going to come to it. But let's go to the Old Testament in the middle lesson, because they all fit together to the theme. We have an enemy out here. Now, we heard Paul 4 weeks ago talk about the very things I want to do, I cannot do. The very things I know I shouldn't be doing. You know, I'm drawn to them and I find myself compulsively doing them. He says, what will deliver me from this body of death? Then he says, thanks be to God for our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can fix my enslavement to sin. And he's one of the chief saints of the church. He had the same problem the rest of us do. He reminds us we have an enemy. He told us, Paul, back then 4 weeks ago, about there's an evil one lurking outside for us. In the very lessons of the sower of the seed, Jesus says, look, seed came down, birds came and snatched it away, seed came down, weeds and the cares of this world stopped it from fulfilling its purpose. Be careful, watchful. Don't your lives have the word of God snatched from the belly of your life. Here's a lurking one. In the Old Testament reading, Israel has known the Lord, what, 1600 years by this point in Israel's history? You'd think they had enough stories behind them to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet, many times they throw up their shoulders and say, okay, who's our God? He doesn't seem like he's producing for us. Should we look out on the marketplace and see if we can get another one? And Israel has to be reminded, no, there is no other God. I dare you, people, tell me, anyone who has shown and has been as patient with you as I have been with you. So the Lord calls Israel to take stock that they have the best option. There are no other choices. You take it or leave it. But this is your God, O Israel, holy and righteous, long-suffering, and patient with us and our waywardness. There are a lot of times in the midst of life, I suppose, in our journey of faith, that we have go through parched valleys. I've experienced it in my life. The experience of, like, God's silent. I coined a phrase and I made buttons in my home church in Pittsburgh back in my 20s. Said, feel far from God, guess who moved. It's not God who moves from us. It's us who stray from the path. God is there. Very present help in time of trouble, the scriptures assure us. He hears the needs, the cries, the groans of his people. Then why does it seem like he doesn't respond? Well, God in God's time does the responding. We are not God, and we don't understand always what God is up to. I get it. I've experienced it. But the truth of the matter is God does not forsake us.
Anything you and I trust in, whether it's humans, wealth, possessions, all the idolatry of this world, they will fail us. They will let us down. People let us down. Promises are made. People make vows. They don't keep them. But God keeps his vows. God keeps his promises. And God is faithful, not some of the time, all the time. God is faithful. You cannot trust anything else, no other God except the Lord your God. Don't be afraid then. Trust him. He will see you through, Isaiah speaks to the church, and you will be my witnesses. That's a part of the obligation of this contract with God. If you and I are going to be receivers, then our appropriate response is to witness, to tell the story. We sang the hymn a few weeks ago, I love to tell the story. Well, we do it in the song, but we do it in life. Are we willing to talk to people and listen to their cares and their hurts and say, hey, I understand what you're going through. And I know God's promises well enough from God's word. I can tell you he can meet the bill. He can fulfill your needs. In the second reading, the Apostle Paul, he speaks about life and put it in placement so you understand. Paul's in jail. He's facing his execution. And he assures his sisters and brothers, don't live to the flesh of this world. This world is a slippery slide, which is going to lead you to perdition. What you need to do is bone up and live for the Spirit, the things that are eternal in God. So even if I suffer, Paul says, I consider what I go through in this life is not even near what I'm going to experience in the resurrection. I don't know if it was just me or if you saw it, but on several occasions on television this last week, Dr. Oz did a whole program on life after death. Did any of you see that? Go to the website, because I did, just to validate it's there. He interviews people who have had after-death experiences. And they share their experiences now that they're back on this side of the curtain. There was another program that I was watching, and they were talking about near-death experiences, a whole different set of circumstances and people. And the testimony, they say that 90% of people who have come back to this earth from their near-death experience, obviously they crossed the line, but then they came back, and they all had positive experiences. They understood that where they were going to was peaceful, felt a sense of presence of a divine spirit of God. Some spoke about a Christ figure. One man had a negative experience, and he said, the longer I was in that, because he was unconscious, and he himself was a physician, okay, which makes you feel he's a little more credible. He says, I wasn't a person of faith, but as I was going down, I was in this mud, this murky stuff, and it was dark and gloomy. He said, I didn't know who I was, I didn't know where I was, I didn't see any humans. He said, it was just terrible. He wasn't fearful, but he was definitely confused. And then all of a sudden, he says, I see this spiraling light coming to me. And it opened up to a new day. And he said, I could see peaceful green valleys, running streams. He said, and I could sense a presence of a divine spirit, of a God. We know that what we go through is real. Nobody diminishes that. Pain, suffering, arthritis, Alzheimer's, you name it, it's real. But I don't consider it greater than what's coming towards me. The best is yet to come. You've heard me tell the story, I use it at some of the funerals, especially when the woman is or the individual is 83 years old or older. Story of a woman who asked her pastor to bury her with a fork. She tells her story to him. He says, "What? That's a strange request." She said, "Well, during the Depression, my mother would serve us desserts whenever we could scrape together enough money. And we kids wanted to eat the dessert first. And Mom would slap our hands and say, 'You can't eat that until you've cleaned your plates.'" Some of us grew up with that rule. And she said, "And I learned you have to eat the first part first, and then the best comes at the end. So, Pastor, bury me with my fork, because the best is still to come." It's that kind of hope, that faith, that testimony of the Apostle Paul and the saints who have lived in Jesus Christ, that understand that while there's enemies and dangers and threats around us, kind of as Luther says, "In a mighty fortress is our God," they cannot win the day. The battle has already been won, and Jesus Christ is the victor. In the gospel text, now we come back to the seeds again. You may have had this experience. You go out and seed your garden, and the first couple of weeks, your plants are breaking through, and all of a sudden, all these, unless you use preen, right? The pre-existing seed emergent killer, these weeds are popping through, and it's like, "Oh, if I pull that one out, the root system is probably going to affect that one." So you say to yourself, "I'll just wait, maybe I'll wait." And then in the story, the slaves come up to the master and say, "What do? We got weeds in the garden, you put good seed in. Should we go out and rip them out?" No. "You may take out the good plants." Word of caution. A lot of times Christians tend to be judgmental, and it's like, "Lord, zap all the evil ones. Make our life easier." And God says, "That's not the way I operate. They will go to the end just like you will. And then at the harvest, the separation takes place." You may say to yourself, and I've heard it this week, several people have said to me, "Why does it seem so evil? Why does it seem to be growing instead of diminishing? Supposedly we're a better educated people, but we don't do any better." You're right, we don't. We're enslaved to sin. We know what's right, but we don't choose it. We choose the easy path, the self-serving path, but not God's path. And in the whole course of things, thanks be to God, God's patient. And he didn't yank us out a couple years ago because we were weeds. He waited for us too. We understand God's patience is greater than any human's. Wait on the Lord. Again, I say, wait on the Lord, and he will take care of you and society, culture, this globe, and all its people. Then comes the judgment. You know, a lot of people have given up on that whole concept that somehow Jesus is just for the here and now, and he's a good philosophy. Love your neighbors, you love yourself, and skip through life happy and frolicking. It's like, no. You don't have the gospel. The gospel is calling for a final judgment. If there was no judgment, Christ was unnecessary. You got to get that picture. If we were all going to be absolved of sin, who needed a savior? If everybody had the pass key to get through the gate, then why was Jesus dying? It was in vain. But in fact, God has chosen that there will be a separation. And when that separation takes place, that's on God's call, not human call, as to who's going to be in the kingdom. Thank the Lord. Because I wouldn't want to make that call. Only God knows the hearts and minds of people. And only God can make the correct call. You and I see things externally. God sees things within the person. And that's the correct call. And so when the judgment comes, the angels, Jesus said, will be sent out to the highways and the byways, bringing the harvest. Now it's time to separate. Having worked with farmers in two different congregations, when the harvesters go out, even when they bring in on the combines the food, there's still weeds in it. And somebody has to do separation, whether it's mechanical or manual. Separation has to take place so that you have the good seed to harvest it, to become the flour, the bread, the pasta, and all the things that you had intended by planting your seed. The rest gets bundled away and either gets burned as chaff, as it's called, or it's fed to the animals as feed or bedding. But it doesn't go into the master's house. Understand, Jesus says, take me serious. Listen, if you have ears. There will be a separation. God is patient, though, and will guide all people to the truth, to his course, to his path. If we are wise, we will listen. If we think God doesn't stand behind his word, we will be fools. For God must be true to God's word, not to human words. May the God of grace, who knows very well there's an evil one working among us, keep us on the straight path until life eternal. Amen. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. The hymn of the day is In Christ. There is no east or west. He's not bound by human boundaries. In the sacrament of holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ made the most important decision for us by making us sons and daughters of the heavenly King. And that's something never to be taken lightly. And so the church throughout 2,000 years affirmed that promise in the words of the baptismal creed, the Apostles' Creed. If you'll please rise, we renew that covenant with our Lord. Together we affirm, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John will lead us in our prayers.
Call to Together in the Spirit's embrace, let us pray for the mending of God's world. Enliven your church with love for your world, O God. Give undivided hearts to Christians from Africa and Americas, Asia and Europe. Make us one and faithful witness to your will. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Renew the life of this earth, O God, even as it groans because of misuse and decay. Cultivate in us an eager longing for a healthy and life-giving earth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bridge the chasms that divide the nations, O God. Inspire reconciliation, vision among the world's leaders, and bring together people of differing commitments for the sake of the world's most vulnerable people. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Embrace those who suffer, O God. Give peace to all who are near death. Hope to those who are depressed. Shelter to the homeless and healing to the sick. Today we pray for Annette Pickett, Doug Abbott, Irish Cook, Julie Martin Dickerson, Donna Taylor, Cheryl Moss, Tom Bachman's sister, the family of Ed O'Connor with the passing of his sister Bea, and those serving our nation, Tristan Morrison and Rob Nolan and Jamie Soulier, and those returning safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning into our communities. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Embolden our witness to your love, O God. Send us out into the world with courageous hearts, persistence, and holy wisdom. Inspire us to tend to and delight in our children's faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Raise up your saints, O God. Inspire us by the lives of all reformers and renewers of your church. Receive our thanks for the saints among us who have recently died. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your care through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of Christ's people. A few things to kind of let you know. This is the week of newsletter. So if you have anything that needs to go in the newsletter this today or tomorrow, we need the copy so it can be in production line for the newsletter, which we assemble then on Wednesday of this week. It will be mailed on Wednesday and be jetting its way to our homes on Wednesday afternoon from the post office. So please give us anything you need to have included. It's going to have a lot of dates and times, so look carefully at it. We're going to give you a little bit of preview of September while we give you the August updates for ministry here at Our Savior. To our announcements, just kind of remind you of the Vacation Bible School and that really each of us need to be an ambassador for it. You may say to yourself, my kids are raised, my grandkids aren't in town, and da 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 da. And that's all true for you, maybe, but there's still a whole community here. Chance to invite people in a casual relationship through Vacation Bible School, no threat, for children from age 2 through 18. And especially with the music camp in a way that should, we hope and we believe and see in other congregations, through music, reach young people. So we're going to be doing contemporary music. One of our ideas of ministry as the fruit of this music camp is that we will create a core group of musicians, instrumentalists, singers, and everything, accompanists, that once a month we'll start doing a wonderful Wednesday contemporary segment or worship that will eventually become either an additional service here at Our Savior in relative time, or be a Saturday night service or a Sunday night service, whatever, and add it to the repertoire of choices for people. But it takes a building process to get there. You just don't jump from point A to point E. It takes steps in between.
So we have been praying, we've been working with the people of our Savior to make this possible. So pray for that ministry with Vacation Bible School and with Music Camp, a new experiment for us. Remember the social things, the interaction with the community, with the neighborhood night out, but also the ice cream social, karaoke. Remember the church picnic at the end of August. We're rolling up our sleeves for September in ministries with Children's Church. We need teachers. We need volunteers to staff to teach the Word of God. If I love to tell the story, then I must be willing to tell the story. It just makes sense. So we need people to make these things take flesh and blood. There are many things in your bulletin. Please read and respond to them appropriately. If you'll please rise, we sing our offertory, Thankful Hearts and Voices Raised.
Known to us, O Lord, in the breaking of the bread, as you were made known to the disciples. Receive these gifts and the offering of our lives, that we may be your risen body in the world.
Amen.
Let us pray the prayers our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May God, whose power working within us can do infinitely more than we can even ask or even imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is Abide With Me.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen. You are the body of Christ raised up for the world. Go in peace, share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.